Praise God. Well, we as God's people, if you're a Christian, what my son said, we are of all people blessed. We're blessed. Again, put your hand on your neck, over your heart. Every heartbeat is a blessing from the Lord. The scripture says, daily, he loads us with his benefits. Amen? He does. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Every morning we have new mercies. The New Testament says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with some spiritual blessings. Oh, is that wrong? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are of all people, we are blessed of God. That's recorded in the, and every one of us has confirmed that in daily life. In daily life, we see the blessings of God coming our way. Now, that doesn't mean that life is always fun. Doesn't mean that life is always easy. I thought I'd hear an amen. Come on. Is anybody awake out here today? It's not always fun. It's not always easy. It's, you know, sometimes there's challenges in life. Sometimes there's times of trial and temptations. But we always have the presence of the Lord, and we always have his blessings. Continually, we have his blessings. God blesses us. Now, he blesses us because he loves us, right? Amen? But he doesn't just bless us to be a reservoir. Bless me, Lord, bless me. Oh, just so we can just hoard up his blessings and enjoy his blessings. That's not why he blesses us. He blesses us so that we can be a channel. He blesses us so that we can take those blessings, and we enjoy those blessings, that heartbeat. We enjoy these blessings, but he blesses us. We are blessed to be a blessing. Say that. We are blessed to be a blessing. That's why God blesses us. Doesn't want us to be reservoirs. He wants us to be channels of it. In fact, that's what he told Abraham. Remember when Abraham was called of God in Genesis chapter 12, he said, Abraham, I am going to make you a great nation. A great nation. And I am going to bless you. I'm going to bless the socks off. Now that's the Sutherland inversion, but that's what he said. I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to make your name great. So, what's the next phrase? Ah. Hebrew, literally. So, be a blessing. That's what it says. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you so much. So, be a blessing. I want you to remember that as you turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I know it's been a while since we've been there. But we're studying Hebrews chapter 11 and the concept of faith. Of faith. You remember, this is the Westminster Abbey of the Bible. This is Heaven's Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. And the writer of Hebrews starts off giving a definition. And you've memorized that by now, right? Some of you have. What is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. He starts off and tells us what faith is. And we kind of expanded that and said faith, actual biblical faith, it at least involves three things. Faith is taking God at his word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If God's word says it, you can take it to, that's faith. We believe it by faith. It's also, faith is not believing in spite of the evidence. It's obeying God. It's by consequences or the circumstances. Faith involves obedience. If we really believe God and we obey God, that's faith. Faith is active. And faith is also trusting in the character of God, who God is, and living promises. That's what faith is. And the writer of Hebrews starts in verse 4 And he starts fleshing this out for us in the life of Old Testament people. I was going to say Old Testament saints, but I thought, you know what? Sometimes we think of these people as special people. Sometimes we think of these people as superheroes or people that were great saints of God. These people are ordinary people just like you and me. Amen. They're not perfect people. You go through this list. These are not perfect people. They are ordinary people. They had good days. They had bad days. They had times when they exhibited great faith, but they also had times when they messed up. Can you relate to that? But many times, these people, they didn't make the hall of faith. They didn't make the hall of faith because many times in crucial moments, they exhibited biblical faith. And so he points to these people and says, this is what real biblical faith looks like. You want to know what faith is? Here's faith in different people's lives, people me. And this morning, I want to look with you at verses 20 through 23. And we're going to look at these verses and see how faith was manifested in the lives of several people. And by looking at their example, I think we're going to see the concept, hopefully we'll see the concept, that faith takes the blessings that God blesses us with and it passes it on to others. These people that we're going to look at this morning, verses 20 through 23, they were blessed to be a blessing. Okay? So let's look at these people. First of all, in verse 20, we're going to look at Isaac. And Isaac, we see faith blessing and pointing to the future. Pointing to the future. Now, let me give you a little background, and I think you all know this, but Isaac was the promised son that was given to Abraham and Sarah in their old age. You remember that he was the son through whom God said that he would begin to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant and the promises to Abraham. Isaac was born, and Isaac grew up, and Abraham says, I don't want him to have a wife from among the Canaanites. So he sends his servant back to where they came from, back to among his relatives, to find his son a wife. And you remember the servant found this woman by the name of Rebekah. And she comes back, and she becomes Isaac's wife at the age of 40. 40 years old, he marries Rebekah. And you remember that Rebekah was barren, just like Sarah was barren. She was barren. And for 20 years, they have no children. And Isaac prays to God, and God opens the womb of his wife, Rebekah. But it wasn't an easy pregnancy. Any women go through difficult pregnancies here? In fact, it was difficult. It was like battle on, like World War III. And so Rebekah goes, it's like a battle going on inside. And he said, yep. There's a battle going on inside. You know, you get two brothers, and you put them in a real close situation. You know what happened? There was a battle going on. And she said, what's going on here? And God said to her, well, there are actually two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than, and the older shall serve the younger. And you remember the birth of Esau and Jacob. Esau comes out first. And he's Harry. So they named him Esau, which is Harry. That's his name, Harry. Esau. But when he comes out, Jacob grabbing his heel, trying to pull him back in and be first. And so they name him Jacob, which means heel grabber or supplanter. Now the Bible's interesting. I'll tell you the dynamics, family dynamics, because the parents play favorites, you remember? Remember Isaac, he kind of favored Esau. Esau was the hunter. Esau was the maybe more athletic type, the hunter type. And Isaac favored Esau, but Rebekah favored Jacob. He was the home type, the plain type, it says. But he was the more spiritual. Because the Bible says that Esau was a profane man. He was an immoral man. And Jacob was more spiritual than he. Well, one says in the text, though, If you go back to Genesis 26, Isaac, it doesn't say a lot about Isaac, by the way. There's less about him than any other of the patriarchs in the Bible. But it does say that God came to him and said, Isaac, you have the Abrahamic blessing. I am going to bless you. And you are going to be a blessing to the nations. And in Genesis 26, 12, it says, the Lord blessed Isaac. So Isaac getting older. In fact, he loses his eyes. And he says, you know what? I don't know when I'm going to die. So I want to bless my children. I want to bless my children. And he wants to pass on that blessing. He wants to pass on what is called the patriarchal blessing that the Lord gave to him and the blessing of birthright. Hebrews 11, look at Hebrews 11, 20. Here's where we get to the text. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding the things to come. Now, that's interesting. Because if you look in Genesis 27, where this takes place, it doesn't seem that you find faith any place. Isaac, Esau, you remember God was going to get. Isaac wants to bless Esau. Here we have a father and a son, and they want to do the wrong thing the wrong way. But on the other hand, you have a mother and a son. You have Rebecca, and you have Jacob. They want to do the right thing, but they want to do it the wrong way. And so it's hard. How do you find faith in all of that? Yeah. Rebecca wants Jacob to receive the blessing, and she convinces him to deceive his father. You remember that Isaac could not see, he's nearly blind, and she wants to deceive Isaac into blessing Jacob. And so where in the world, the writer in Hebrews, by faith, where does faith come in here? I think Isaac exhibited faith in three ways. First of all, he placed a high value on passing on the blessings of God. He placed a high value. He showed faith and a great desire to pass on the blessing to his son. Secondly, he showed faith the fact that even though he was tricked in the giving the blessing to Jacob, he perceived that he had overruled by God and he revoked the blessing. Remember what Esau said when he came in and he found out that Jacob had stolen the blessing? He said, Father, bless me. Bless me. And he said, no, my son. I've already given the blessing. So he perceived that he had been overruled by God. And he would not revoke the blessing. In fact, he confirmed the blessing. So by faith, he actually blessed him. Now, let me just say, what Rebecca and Jacob did was wrong. It was wrong to deceive Isaac. That was wrong. What they gained by deceit, God wanted to give them by faith. You say, Pastor, how would that have worked out? If they wouldn't have tricked him, how would that have worked out? I don't know. But I know it would have. Because God said the older will serve the younger. God would have seen to it, but they wanted to help out God. So they schemed. But that's wrong. That's wrong. God wanted to give them by faith. Isaac realized that God wanted to have the blessing. And then third, he pointed them to the future. These boys, what God said was going to come about, God would bring the promises that he gave to Abraham. So he, by faith, blessed them. Isaac was blessed, but he was blessed to be a blessing. He passed on by faith, he blessed his, even regarding things to come. He pointed them to the things that were to come. What God had promised, he said, God's going to fulfill. You know, that's a good thing to pass on to people, isn't it? To them, you know what? God promises in his word, he is going to fulfill. You know, the future, what he promises in the future, he's going to fulfill. Amen? What does he promise? What's coming? Jesus is coming. Amen? Christ is coming back. Is that going to happen? Oh, yeah. He said he's coming back. He's going to fulfill that. What else is coming? What's that?
Eternal life.
Eternal life's coming. Everybody's going to live forever. Somewhere. Right? Somewhere. How do we know that? Because God says it. And we need to tell people. That's what's going to happen. Also, judgment's coming. Right? It's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. And every one of us, listen, every one of us here is going to one day stand before God. If you have not received Christ, you will stand before God at the great white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 20. Names written in the Lamb's book of life, you will be sentenced to the lake of fire. That's what the scripture says. And everyone here, every one of us that knows the Lord, every one of us, is one day we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Not for sin. We're not going to be judged for sin. Amen?
Amen.
Our sin has already been judged at the cross. But we will be judged. Our works, the deeds done in the body, will all give an account. You know what? We need to tell people that. We need to pass that on to people. He told people that what God promised is going to be fulfilled. He was blessed, and he passed on the blessing. And folks, we are blessed, and we need to pass on the blessing also. By faith, Isaac was blessed, and by faith, he passed on that blessing. Secondly, we see another person here in verse 21, and that's Jacob. And we see faith, blessing, and engaging in worship. And again, for those of you that know the life of Jacob, these words here, by faith, Jacob, might seem surprising. Faith, Jacob. Is that an oxymoron? The fact that he made the Hall of Faith might be a little bit surprising. But maybe it should be an encouragement to us. And Jacob wasn't perfect. Jacob did have a spiritual bent. The things of God were important to Jacob. But he was far from perfect. Far from perfect. Most of his life, Jacob was a schemer. He schemed. It seems that all through his life, he schemed to get things that God wanted to give him by faith. I'll never forget the late Warren Wiersbe. In our pastoral duties class at Trinity Seminary, he said, "Fellas, people, faith is doing things without scheming. If you get in a church and you've got a scheme to get something done, you are not acting in faith. And anything that's not of faith is," that's it, somebody got it, "sin." Romans 14:23. Anything not of faith is sin. So don't scheme. But Jacob, for a lot of his life, was a schemer. But in the end, he demonstrated faith. He demonstrated that. How did he do that? Look there. By faith, he blessed his grandchildren. Do you see it there? By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. He blessed his, when he realized that he was dying, Joseph brought his kids to Jacob. And it says in the text that he brought his kids for Jacob to bless. Jacob was blessed of God. And he's going to pass on the blessing. So Joseph brings his kids to Jacob. And he put Manasseh on his left. And he put Ephraim on his right. So that in Jacob's case, Manasseh would be on Jacob's right and Ephraim would be on his left. Because for some reason, if you bless with the right hand, the blessing went through the right hand. I don't get all of that, but that's the way it was. So he brought him to bless him, but God had spoken to Jacob. To Jacob. And when he went to bless him, what did he do? He went like this. He crossed them up. And Joseph, he starts to bless, and Joseph says, "No, Father, no, Father, don't do that." And he says, "Yes, son, yes, son. The Lord, this is of the Lord." And he gave those two sons a blessing. In fact, he adopted Manasseh, and he adopted Ephraim as his own, and they were going to get two portions in the land along with his other sons. So they got the double blessing. But he blessed his grandchildren. He passed on the blessing to his grandchildren. And not only did he bless his grandchildren, but he also blessed his children. In Genesis chapter 49, it begins, this is what he said, Jacob said to his children when he blessed them. He wanted to pass the blessing on to his children. So you know what he did? He told some of them what they were like. How would you like a blessing like that? I'm going to tell you what you're like, Mike. How would you like a blessing like that? I'm going to tell you your strengths, and I'm going to tell you your weaknesses. Would you like that blessing? He goes to his firstborn, Reuben. He said, "Reuben, you are preeminent in power. You're a strong man. And you're uncontrollable as water. You have no self-control. You went up to your father's bed. You will not be preeminent." He tells them what they were like. Levi and Simeon, you know what? You've got an anger problem. You better deal with that or you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Do you know, think about this. For someone, to know your strengths and weaknesses, is that a blessing? It is. It is, if you know your strengths and weaknesses. Because if you know your strengths and weaknesses, you can, and I have this on my desk in my office. You can pray something like this: "Lord, strengthen me in the area of my weaknesses. And Lord, give me the grace to humble myself in the area of my strengths." Did you hear what I said? I didn't say, "Lord, humble me in the area of my strengths." Lord, give me the grace to humble myself in the area of my strengths. And that's a blessing. And that's what he did with many of them. And others, he told them, "Here's the plan that God has for you." And he told him, "You know what? God has a plan for your life. And here's God's plan for you. This is something that God has this unique plan for your life." Is that a blessing?
Yeah.
It is a blessing. And he blessed each one, not only of his grandchildren, but of his children. He passed on the blessing. And then, by faith, he worshiped God, leaning on his staff. This is when he was dying. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying. Isn't that a great way to die? I'll tell you what, you know how I want to die? I want to die worshiping God. You know, just think, how'd your dad die? Oh, he died singing Amazing Grace. Wouldn't that be wonderful to finish well like that? And that's what he did. And what an example to his children, to his grandchildren, to people around him. I'd like to either die worshiping, or I wouldn't even mind dying preaching. You know, I wouldn't. I'll tell you, I could preach and just, you know, preach a good sermon, just fall over dead. You go home and say, "Pastor Les preached a drop dead sermon today, man. That was a great sermon." And that'd be a great way to die. You know, maybe not today, but you know what? What an example that is for us, huh? I want to finish well. And by faith, he was worshiping God. And then he died. And that's a great thing right there. In Jacob, we see faith blessing and worshiping. He was blessed to be a blessing. Then thirdly, we see Joseph. Joseph in verse 22. In Joseph, we see faith blessing and reminding people of the promises of God. And Joseph's life was a life of faith. It might surprise us to see Isaac in Hebrews 11. Really surprise us to see Jacob there. But it doesn't surprise me to see Joseph there. Because it seemed like he lived a life of faith. You remember that his brothers abused him, threw him down into the pit, sold him into slavery, into Egypt. And then he's a servant in Potiphar's house, and he's made the manager of the house, and Mrs. Potiphar comes and tries to seduce him. And I'll tell you what, and Joseph resists that. And because of that, he's blessed and he has no problems. No. He follows the Lord, and he is accused of rape. He's thrown into prison. He's forsaken, and he's forgotten. But you know what? Joseph was faithful. And the Lord was with Joseph. Was with Joseph, wherever he was. And you remember how God then exalted him up to the second in position in Egypt. And the one portion I love in Scripture is I love when his brothers come down. Don't you love that portion? That's one of my favorite portions of Scripture. And I wish I could have been there to see when they're there and he reveals his true identity, that he's their brother that they sold into slavery. But you know what? By faith, he forgave them. Faith has spiritual eyes. And he saw something. He said, you know what? What you intended for evil, God intended for good and for the salvation of many people. And he forgave his brothers. I tell you, faith sees stuff like that. And then faith forgave. But here, Joseph is getting to the end of his life. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. What did he do when he was dying? He reminded them of the promises of God. God told Abraham, we were going to be down here in Egypt for a while. In fact, 400 years. But we weren't going to be left down here. We're going to go out of this place. We're going back to the promised land. Amen. We're going back to the promised land. There's going to be an exodus. And he's taking us back to that land which he promised to us. And it's going to happen. Because God said it's going to happen. And when God promises something, you can take it to the bank. And when it happens, take my bones up with you. He said, I don't want my bones even being left down here in Egypt. Take them back up to the promised land. And you know what Exodus 13 says? And Moses took with him the bones of Joseph. And you remember what Joshua, I think it's 23 or 24 says? And they buried the bones of Joseph in the promised land. Amen. You see, he's dying, but he's reminding others. He's trusting in God and reminding others of the promises of God. You know, that's what faith does. Faith reminds others. Faith trusts in God and reminds people of the promises of God. And by the way, we don't have to wait till we're dying to do that. We can remind people of God's promises every day. That's a wonderful thing. That's what faith does. Faith lives on the promises and reminds others of the promises of God. And I'll tell you, it passes it on. Good thing to pass on to your kids. Good thing to pass on to your grandkids. Good things to pass on to others. The promises of God, his precious and magnificent promises. That's what faith does. Let me give you an assignment. Here's what I want you to do today. I want you to take a promise of God and give it away today. Would you do that? Just one promise and give it to somebody today. Tell somebody a promise of God today. By the way, let me give you a promise of God. Exodus is coming. Amen. God has told us there's an exodus coming. we're not going to be in this land. Someone's coming, going to take us to the promised land.
Amen.
To the promised land. And that's a promise. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We will be with the Lord. Jesus is coming back, and he's going to take us. And he's not going to leave our bones down here. We are going to, he's going to take our bodies and transform them and take us to heaven.
Amen.
How do you know that, Pastor? By faith.
Amen.
By faith we know. It's a promise of God. And that's what faith does. Faith passes on the promises of God. We're blessed to be a blessing.
Yes.
Now, last one, number four, Moses' parents. Moses' parents, verse 23, faith, blessing, and obeying God without fear. And again, Exodus 1 is the background to this. You remember there was a king that arose down in Egypt that knew not Joseph. And he saw the people of the Hebrews. They were multiplying. They were getting stronger. So he assigns taskmasters to them and afflicts them. But the greater he afflicted the people of God, the more they multiplied. The more they grew, the more they multiplied. So he issues forth an edict, and he says this, every son that is born to you, the Hebrews, is to be cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. Every son, kill them. Every daughter, keep them alive. And that's where we hit verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Here they are, Moses' parents, Amram, Jochebed. The edict has come down. They have a son, but by faith, they hid him for 3 months. They disobeyed in faith the king's edict. Now, wait a second. I thought we were to obey all governing authorities. Right? Doesn't it say that in Scripture? All governing authorities are put there by who? By God. By God. They are ministers of God. And we're to obey governing authorities. Except in two instances. If they command us to do something that is forbidden in Scripture, we're not to obey. Or if they command us not to do something that we're commanded to do in Scripture, then we're to disobey. Because why? Because we have a higher authority. We have a higher authority. And Moses' parents were looking to the higher authority. They were looking to God, and they put faith in God and said, we're going to disobey. And they kept their child alive. Now, that was, there was some ramifications of that. If they were found out, they could have all been killed. Not only the child, but the mom and the dad and any other siblings could have been destroyed. But by faith, they blessed their child. You know what? By not killing their child. That's big. Today it's big. You can bless your child by not killing your child. People need to hear that. You know? And they blessed their child. They hid their child. And here's what faith did. Faith cast out all fear. They weren't afraid. You know, faith does that. True biblical faith, if we really believe God, if we really trust in his character, if we really live on his promises, we don't have to be afraid. I mean, that kind of rebukes me sometimes, because sometimes I'm afraid. Fear. Let me just give you the verse over in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Great verses. Let your lifestyle be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, you know what God said? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may confidently say, the Lord's my helper. I will not fear. What can men do to me? What can men do to me? Oh, they can kill you, Pastor. Huh, really? They do that, I'll be more alive than I ever was before. We don't have to be afraid if we have biblical faith. See, they blessed Moses. They blessed their child. And they didn't fear. They obeyed God despite the consequences without fear. See, they were blessed to be a blessing. You know what? We are of all people. Tell me, we are of all people blessed. And we are blessed to be a blessing. What is the greatest blessing that God's brought into your life?
Salvation.
Kathy, salvation, right? If you are a Christian and Jesus is in your heart, guess what? You have forgiveness of sins. Amen. Past, present, future. We are forgiven. Not only are we forgiven, but God has declared us righteous. Amen. By faith, we've been justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If we're Christians, God has sent forth the Spirit of His in our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. We've got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. That's a blessing. Yes. We have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. We have all of His precious and magnificent promises. We are blessed by the best. But we are blessed to be a blessing. And what we need to do is we need to go out today and we need to take those blessings that God has blessed us with and we need to use that to bless others. Amen? That's what living faith will do. It'll make a difference. It'll bring blessings not only to us, but it'll bring blessings to others around us. Lord, we just bow before You and thank You that You have blessed us so greatly, so much. But Lord, no, we're not just blessed to hoard it all. We're blessed to be channels of Your blessing. And so, Lord, we just ask You to use us this day. Help us to share a promise of God with somebody today. Help us to go out and share the gospel with somebody today. Lord, help us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.